Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming from the Radio Bunker. Great to have you riding along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. From Traverse City down to Toledo, welcome in hour number two. Text the keyword Sports Radio to 21000 to share your thoughts. That's Sports Radio to 21000. You can call us on the Auto Valley guest line, 313-396-5527. 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. Miss any portion of the show, you want to listen back to anything you may have missed on demand, you can visit our SoundCloud, Google, Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio app pages. Plus, you can listen online all the time, MichiganSportsNetwork.com, MichiganSportsNetwork.com. Ryan is at RyanL_Key. Dan is at Dan in the studio. And I'm Anthony at AC Bellino. Great to have you. Great to have you with us here for our number two, as we will hop into Michigan State taking care of business against Indiana last night, plus the upcoming two games in 4 days against the Michigan Wolverines for the in-state. And I've already gotten a tweet early from Ryan, a gif of a Michigan State player dunking on a Michigan player, or dunking in the general vicinity of a Michigan player. So that's always fun. You know, rivalry week, so he says. I'm like, all right, is this really the way you want to start this the Wednesday morning off? Like, I hope not.
It was Tuesday night. All right,
Take it back?
No, well,
take it back, it's fine.
I have just having some fun because I know the next two games will probably not go well for me.
I mean, after you what say I saw that, last
but
night,
you didn't watch any of that Michigan State game. Like, as much as MSU fans are complaining how bad, like, the game was, and we won the game, or MSU won the game, Indiana was much worse. It was middle school basketball last night.
Archie's time's got to be up there, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be. Like, there's no way they keep this thing going. And Indiana's lost its luster. Like, the Hoosiers aren't what they were. As the world evolves and times change and things evolve, Indiana basketball is now. I saw a tweet like, you know, who would have thought that, you know, Indiana basketball wishes it was Michigan basketball, Michigan football wishes it was Indiana football. I'm like, let's calm down here now. Like, nobody wishes they were Indiana football.
It's been 1 year.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a team, you know, Indiana. I saw that and I was just like, okay, all right, sure, whatever you'd like to say, whatever makes you feel good, I guess. There's that portion of it, but there's nothing about Michigan that wishes it was Indiana, not a single thing. Outside of maybe the fact that they're hosting, the NCAA.
They don't tax their alcohol in Indiana.
You have that going on. You ever been to Muncie, Indiana, home of Ball State?
You mean Funcie?
Brutal. I don't know how they recruit anybody. Like, Fort Wayne, you ever been to Fort Wayne?
No. No one's ever been to.
You drive through Indiana to get to Chicago. That's what you do.
We only know Gary, Indiana. That's it.
Gary, Indiana.
That place smells.
South Bend? South Bend is
East Chicago is a fun place if you've never been.
Maybe Michigan City.
They literally have a city in their state called Michigan City. So we'll leave it that. South Bend and North Carolina
Atlanta
is great, which is fine. Atlanta, like, that's a city that, yeah, I'd go to Atlanta. Atlanta sounds nice right about now. How did you did you guys hear from the Texas governor? They're wide open now, 100% open. They're ready for business, ready for action.
Should worry about getting all their power back. Getting that straightened out.
That just scares me for baseball starting in a month.
Well, MLB will still have their rules, probably.
Yeah, they have to. MLB will still keep their things in check. I thought it was interesting yesterday, the update that Major League Baseball teams are now going to operate their alternate sites similar to those that were used during the shortened campaign last year. A long-expected move that will delay the beginning of the AAA season by at least a month, according to the league. This was not a long-expected move. This was not. And I can tell you that because
I think it was long-expected, but they never put it in place until now, and they're looking like a bunch of idiots. Like, they should have done it. Everybody knew it was going to happen, but they never did it, so you can't prepare unless it's, you know, happening.
Oh, I might have to disagree. I mean, when I tell you that the Mudhens released a statement because they're like, in response to the ESPN report, like, we are totally unaware, we are dealing with this in real time. Like, they were hoping and getting ready to start in April. And pushing this thing back a month, like, another huge blow to minor league cities across the country. And obviously, I have a little bit of a soft spot for the minor league cities, working in minor league baseball, working in minor league hockey for as long as I have. There is a, you know, those cities, they get this, they get this kind of news, and they have to release a statement like, oh, well, we're just now hearing about this, and we're supposed to start next month, and now that delays everything that they have going on. Like, this is, this move here, quote, this is a prudent step to complete the major league and minor league seasons as safely as possible. We look forward to having fans back in ballparks across the country very soon, according to Morgan Sword, the MLB's executive vice president of baseball operations. I mean, that is, I don't know. They had minor leagues that were supposed to be scheduled April 6th. Now those games are getting pushed back to around the same time that AA and Class A are expected to start the first week of May. MLB's opening day is not affected by the move and remains on pace for 15 games, most at stadiums with fans, beginning on April 1st. I thought Casey Mize's statement and in his comment about he'll never take fans for granted ever again, like, that was something that he really missed, and he was very, very happy about being able to get out there in front of fans and play. I thought that that kind of spoke volumes to how, you know, a lot of people feel across the board. Now, it might be a little bit different, and, you know, Mize in his outing yesterday against the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Tigers won 6-1. He went two innings and gave up three walks, struck out three, didn't surrender a hit or a run, so good on him. Garcia and Ramirez would close out the rest of the five-inning game. It was scheduled for five on Pittsburgh's request. But for Casey Mize to come out and say that, I think that you're going to see even more of that. I think there's going to be a little bit more of an appreciation for fans who actually go to games and for the players who are there too. I mean, whether you're being booed or being cheered for, I think that there is... I think there's going to be a different level of respect and a different level of appreciation, at least for a little while, between fans and their favorite teams. And I don't expect any away fans to get any great treatment from home fans. I don't expect to see any sort of like Derek Jeter retirement tour sort of like, oh my God, I can't wait to see so-and-so play here. But I do think that maybe there will be more of a sense of appreciation for the games that, you know, people can actually get to. I think that that will be exciting. I think that, you know, and my question has been for a while is that when fans are finally allowed to enjoy some sporting events, will you go? I mean, in certain venues, I have a buddy who's a Cleveland fan. He's already been to Cavs games. You know, then that's and he's not, you know, really not worried about it. Whether you know wear a mask in the building and you're a little bit more aware of touching handrails and things of that nature. You know, high contact points, whether. You know, I'm glad most places have gotten rid of like bathroom doors and the way that they've, you know, kind of set up the restroom facilities, you know, trying to get, you know, two concession stands, you know, give yourself a little bit more distance. When will we see a sellout? I have no idea. Alabama's expecting full crowds at their football stadium this upcoming fall. So, I mean, it's nice to think about and it's different to try to project, but I did think that Casey Mize's statement after their win against Pittsburgh, I think that spoke volumes to guys want fans back in the stands. They absolutely do. And as we heard Kyle Barlow say, like, hey, home court with fans might be worth 8 points in basketball at the college level. I think that that's pretty... That was a pretty eye-opening statement that I didn't believe that maybe it would be worth that much. We'll step aside when we return. Creighton's coach said something. He's under fire. Michigan State taking care of business. Michigan getting absolutely clapped by Illinois. We'll get to all of that and more coming up here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
I know you're just like me, man. You can't wait for the next game to get on that big screen. But before you settle in to watch that game, don't forget to place your one-game parlay at BetMGM. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. One-game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account, and raise the stakes for a chance to win huge. One Game Parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win total and prop picks. New to BetMGM? Well, sign up today and make every play of every game matter more than ever before. You can make One Game Parlay bets on soccer and NBA games with more sporting bets to come. Go ahead, take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in points for the star power forward if you like. Log in today or download BetMGM's app to try One Game Parlay and turn game day into payday. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
At Meijer, your health and safety is our first priority. That's why Meijer Pharmacy has partnered with the CDC to administer free COVID-19 vaccinations when they become available to us. Register now to get your free COVID vaccinations at Meijer and get updates to your phone. Text COVID to 75049 to get started. That's COVID to 75049. You can also visit your Meijer pharmacist or go to clinic.meijer.com for more information.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com, or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Big news.
I have a little news.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadlin, Brian Elke, and Anthony Bellino all joining you here this morning. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Alder Valley guest line 313-396-5527. And of course on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And tonight we'll get a little Detroit basketball. The Pistons scheduled to take on the Toronto Raptors, which will be the first of a back-to-back. They'll be in New York against the Knicks tomorrow in the evening against the Knicks. So because of the postponement, a little bit of a delay there in order to get that game that is in Tampa against the Toronto Raptors underway. We had we had something that was said the other day. Creighton Blue Jays, Greg McDermott had said something that he apologized for yesterday, where he said, quote, "On February 27th, after an emotionally tough loss on the road, I addressed our student athletes and staff in the postgame locker room. And I used a terribly inappropriate analogy in making a point about staying together as a team despite the loss. Specifically, I said, guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everyone to stay on the plantation. I can't have anyone leave the plantation." McDermott went on to say, "I immediately regretted my egregious mistake and quickly addressed my use of such insensitive words with the team. I have never used that analogy, and as it is not indicative of who I am as a person or as a coach, I am deeply sorry. I've apologized to our student athletes and to our staff, as well as President Hendrickson and the Director of Athletics, Bruce Rasmussen. Over the last 72 hours, I have engaged in multiple difficult conversations with student athletes, staff, parents, and university administrators, and I realize the pain my words have caused. For that, I sincerely apologize. I am committed to ensure this will never happen again and am using this as a learning experience. While there remains work to be done and trust to earn back, I appreciate our student athletes' honesty and will maintain an open dialogue as we grow and learn together." Creighton released a separate statement calling the language used deplorable and inconsistent with the university's values and commitment to creating a welcoming and inclusive environment.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't have to learn together. He's the only one who has to learn. What do you, why would you?
I have
what
never,
are you, why
I've
would you
never
even,
heard that before. No I've one, never heard that before.
No one's heard that before.
Okay, so I'm not alone, because I saw the statement first come from the assistant coach, who is from the Coaches for Action Twitter, and one of his assistants. had come out and said this, quote, "I am an assistant coach at Creighton. My job is to help our players maximize their abilities as players, students, and ultimately help them become productive members of society. Part of that growth is dealing with the horrible and uncomfortable truths about racism in our world and in basketball. Let me address what Coach McDermott said. I am deeply hurt by his words. While my relationship with Coach has been positive and I've never witnessed any racist energy from him, what he said was wrong and insensitive. Plantation had a dark and hurtful history in my community and cannot be overlooked. Right now, my focus is on the players and supporting them in any way that they need my support. As we have been reminded, it's more than a game. This is a real life and real issues. The players have decided they want to continue to chase their goals on the court this season with Coach McDermott. I support their wishes and will continue to pour my heart into coaching them and helping them deal with larger issues. I would like to thank each and every CFA member for their support during this time. This is why we created this special group." I have never heard. I've heard "don't give up the ship." I've heard that. But I've never heard anybody, and I mean, I'm not from a region of the country where plantations are. You know, we're from Michigan. We're from the north. You know, so we don't really have anything in regards to that word. But
how is it possible?
How does that happen?
I haven't, until the last week, because there was a plantation reference. Somebody said some sort of plantation thing a couple weeks ago. I haven't thought about that word since the sixth grade. Like, how do you even think about saying that to another human being, let alone, like, thinking that is going to inspire someone?
Right, like, if you're McDermott, I don't know the whole layout of Creighton's team, but it's like you're looking around, room full of young black men, be like, "I'm going to say plantation." Read the room a little bit. See how they react when I say that word. There's no other meaning to that word.
Like, we have to stay on the plant. Like, what? I mean, when I saw, and I like if, I said, I mean, I saw the assistant coach's statement first. And I'm like, well, what the hell did he say? Like,
I saw the tweet from Coach McDermott yesterday. I was like, oh, what happened? What did he say? Then I read it. I go, how is that possible? And even looking on Twitter, I think most of the reaction was just like, that's not a saying.
It's not a saying.
Like
no, who like, says that?
Like, is McDermott just sitting there like, hey, looking around his team like, if you go down 15, I'm going to drop the P word around you. Need to inspire you a little bit. Like, no.
I can't have anyone leave the plantation. Like, I mean, the
this
confusion.
This isn't the thug slug debate with John Beilein. This is.
Who said thugs recently? Who just said it? It was like, I didn't realize. I was like, what? I mean, you might not be against rap or rappers.
Bone Thugs. Yeah, I don't remember who just said it, but yeah, it was. But it's just like, I can understand maybe someone's point on, like, oh, I didn't know Thug like had that like back tone to it. Where it's like, you know exactly what plantation means and what you mean by saying it, especially to a group of young black men that you have control over as a college coach.
And as a white guy.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. I mean, and this is, you know, I think that a lot of times I see things on the internet and I wonder if people are just looking to be upset, if they're just looking for something to be mad at. And I am often surprised at how sensitive we are. And I think that this has been brought up multiple times on Twitter, but for a generation of people that was brought up on South Park, like, how are we so offended by everything? And a lot of times I agree with it. You know, a lot of times I'm like, dude, what are you upset about? Who said what now?
Well, like, just like yesterday, what? The whole internship debate where people got really upset talking about internships. It's like, no. This is the real thing we're supposed to be upset about, what McDermott said.
And this is kind of the ideology that young people in this country have been working towards getting away from, right? Because we have a very, very dark history, as does the world. And so if you don't understand how the world was created, or how lands came to be, or how, you know, country's borders came to be, or the process of slavery across the entire world, and how that has played a role in everything, then, you know, picking up a book might be a pretty good suggestion for you. But I don't know of anybody that we could have this conversation with right now. You know, we had a discussion about the anthem that really upset some people. I mean, it bothered some people to the point where they're sending emails and everything else. They're never going to listen again and blah, blah, blah. All because I don't care if you play the anthem before a game or not. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't buy a ticket, you know, to listen to the national anthem. I didn't buy a ticket to hear it played via CD or digitally. I didn't pay or go to a game to listen to a band play it, or to see whatever horrific singer is going to butcher the song. Just, it's not, I don't really see the time or the place for it, to be honest with you. But they do it, and it's a tradition, so whatever. You know, people traditionally,
and the NFL gets paid for it.
I prefer ham. So one of those things, like, to each their own. But this, I think we can all agree on, that this is what we're trying to fight against. And this does not, you know, they play Lift Every Voice and Sing before every men's college basketball game. Every single one of them. Like, in the read, it's to, you know, celebrate the, you know, the diversity and the unity and the hope that, you know, maybe things will get a little bit better human to human. You play that before every game, you're going to drop Plantation on them? Like, McDermott, that could cost you your job. For you just not even, like, how that even came out of your mouth, I have no idea. You got no excuse. Like, never even heard the saying before. So, man, just nutty right there what he did. We'll step aside. We're going to talk more college hoops. Michigan State taking care of business last night against Indiana. That's on deck here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino here on behalf of TwinSpires Online Sportsbook, Racing, and Casino. TwinSpires is now live in Michigan, and they're offering new players their best offer yet with up to $1,000 in risk-free bets. TwinSpires is backed by the same team as the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs Racetrack and brings over 140 years of tradition, excitement, and wagering experience. Whether you're an avid gambler or a first-timer, they've got your bets. And now with Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre on board as the Sportsbook Ambassador, TwinSpires is coming out of the starting gates with their best offer yet. For new players in Michigan, TwinSpires will give you 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000. You heard that right, up to $1,000 in one whole week to try your luck. Bet on the game this weekend, or if you're bored at work, give European soccer a shot, risk-free from your phone. Just download the TwinSpires Casino and Sportsbook app today and enter the promo code FREE1000 to participate. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit www.twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and physically present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
So what's your reason for feeling lousy today? Round number birthday or just another one? Glory days with the college buddies, game went to overtime, or was it Tuesday? Whatever, you need to lose the hangover and get with the program. And that's why you need Blow Low. Blow Low is a sobering aid that clears your head and helps reinvigorate and energize your body. Blow Low assists in eliminating hangovers with a proven metabolism accelerator, helping to break down toxins and reduce alcohol levels up to 50%, and all in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Blow Low can eliminate breath odor from marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol, and more. Visit blowlow.com, that's BLOWLOW.com today, and feel better in as little as 15 minutes. Your next birthday, overtime, glory days, day of the week party will go down better, and you'll feel better the next day. blowlow.com, use the promo code HUGE for free shipping. Blow Low encourages everyone who consumes alcohol to act responsibly. Please don't drink and drive. Statements not evaluated by the FDA.
That's your idea of your players being your coach in the huddle?
Yeah, Aaron has really grown up to that. Now, Josh has been the best.
Yep.
But Josh was... Josh gave me everything that kid had tonight. I mean, you had to be there. You had to be there. It was one of those things that I'll remember for the rest of my life. Not to get emotional about it, not to get sentimental about it, not to get crazy about it. But you ask guys to give you everything they got. He went beyond that. So he didn't do a very good job in the huddle because talking was taking in energy and air, and he didn't have much left. So he did everything else he could do, but Aaron took over that tonight. And now if I can get both of them together, you know, who knows? I mean, we still got a long way to go. We all know that. There's no rose-colored petals here. We still got a lot of work to do, but this team is showing some character, and I'm proud of them for that.
Tom Izzo getting a little emotional there, talking about Langford and Henry last night, who, you know, combined, basically carried the load. Gabe Brown giving him a little action as well. But we'll get into this Michigan State victory at home over the Indiana Hoosiers. Good teams win, great teams covered. Michigan State did both last night, 64-58 against the Hoosiers. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527. And, you know, thinking back to, you know, the comments there from Tom Izzo, we've got some more comments coming up from Coach Izzo just about the Michigan-Michigan State game upcoming. Now, they do have media availability today, so we'll have more to come for tomorrow night's game. But between Aaron Henry and Josh Langford, you talk about two guys that have tried to, you know, and have been forced to carry the load for the entire team, and has not been a very easy task. You know, Aaron Henry goes, you know, 50% from the field last night, 8 of 16 for 22 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Josh Langford, he goes 4 of 9 from the field, 13 points, 7 boards and assists, a couple of steals, and 2 blocks as well. And Michigan State does not have the depth this year, but those two guys are doing their damnedest to keep them alive. And you could hear it in Izzo's answer there as he got a little worked up and choked up about it. He cares about these young men. And especially with everything that Josh Langford has been through throughout his Michigan State career, it's, you know, he knows it's coming to an end. And I think that, you know, as a coach and as a father on campus, you know, you hate to see, you know, this is one of the things that makes college sports kind of special. You know, after your time is up and after your 4 years are up with somebody, same thing happens at the high school level. But typically in high school, you know, you only get a guy on average, you know, his junior and senior year. If you coach youth sports, you might just be a fifth grade coach. You might stick with your guys or that team for, you know, the duration of their junior high year. So you spend a lot of time, and eventually they have to graduate, and eventually they have to go on and live their lives and move on to the next level. And you return the next year and they aren't there, you know? And I think that maybe that reality is setting in a little bit for Tom Izzo, to where, you know, he looks over at Josh Langford and realizes, you know, we're getting closer to the end of the road, man. And it's difficult to deal with as a coach, because it constantly happens. It happens every year with every class. And some guys are just special. Other guys are like, hey, you know, wishing the best and I still love you. But other guys are just special. You know what I mean? And you could tell Izzo has a lot of care. A lot of care.
Right. And I've heard in different media availability this year after games is that, and even Izzo kind of alluded to it in that clip, that Josh has been the voice of this team. While Aaron Henry is the one that faces the media every single time, we're going to give him his praise, and rightfully so. Josh has been the one pulling people aside after practice, saying, look, we're going to watch film now. He's the one taking over huddles. He's been the senior leader this team's been kind of missing. And they didn't have him for the first half of the year because he was still coming back from injury, then gets COVID. Then to even come back from that. So it's just to have him in a full swing of, like, he's finally a shell of what he used to be, like, before the injuries. We're finally seeing him being in a rhythm as a leader and a player. So I think that's why it's more of a special feel for his team, for Izzo. Cause, and I even think Michigan State fans, I think with this run in the last 2 weeks, it's one of these teams you'll talk about still, even though it may not have a nice tournament run or whatever. It's going to be like the Drew Neitzel team. They're making different memories for you.
Drew Neitzel. Dude. He's coaching basketball right now, isn't he?
Probably. That dude had like 30 second half comebacks in a year. I don't know how he did it. And that team was not good.
They'll put the team on his back.
And that's what Henry and Langford are doing with Gabe Brown stepping up.
Yeah, Gabe Brown off the bench last night, 10 points, 7 boards, 4 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3. What a performance
there. Those two were back-to-back possessions. They were huge.
Like, how'd you feel at halftime with this thing tied up at 26?
I wanted it to be over. Just call it both loss for each team and just end it. It was 26-26. Both teams were combined shooting 30%.
Mm.
It was
a lot of bricks.
It was middle school basketball. And, yeah, it was a rough game until finally the last few minutes. Aaron Henry got in his groove. He scored 12 of MSU's final 15 points in the last 5 minutes. And, yeah, it was a rough watch. Because even, like, Robbie Hummel, he was on the call. He was just like, there's just no offensive fluidity to this game. It's turnover, foul, miss three. Like this is just bad.
Indiana shot as a team 2 of 20 from the three-point line. That's 10% if you're doing the math at home. Michigan State went 4 of 17 for 23.5%. And the two numbers that really stick out to me from this game, without being able to see it, was the fact that Indiana was called for 24 personal fouls, Michigan State for 21. Was it that egregious, or were the referees just that ticky-tack and decided that last night's game was going to be about them?
A little bit of both. Like, some fouls, they were fouls. Some were just, again, first 3 minutes of the second half, 10 fouls called.
Mm.
And it got to the point, though, where it was getting really ticky-tacky because, like, all right, you're both teams are playing bad, and you can't stop pushing each other down in the post.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Like, I understood most of the fouls, but it was just like, at some point, you got to let them play a little bit, or this game's going to last till 2 a.m.
If like, people like us,
like, I wasn't really mad. Like, there's only one call, I think, that went against Michigan State that I was like, that's not a foul. Everything else, you see the replay, you're like, yep, I get that. Like, it's just, how are we still doing this crap? Like, Julius Marble, you play 3 minutes and somehow accumulate 4 fouls.
That's a good day's work. That's a good day's work if you get 3 fouls in 10 minutes. I mean, that takes that's a concerted effort right there. Nothing else really stands out. I mean,
no, because this game was awful.
Yeah,
Anthony. This
I'm
was
sorry.
A
I
terrible,
wish I could add something here, but
this
I
was
can't.
A terrible game. I'm glad we won because if Michigan State lost this game, I would have gone. I think all of Michigan State's fan base would have gone off the rails because of how poorly both teams were playing. Like, you just needed 3 good minutes to win this game, and Michigan State finally gave the 3 good minutes because it was 40 minutes of bad basketball.
Your wife's been saying the same thing, hasn't she? Huh? Your wife's been saying the same thing. She just needs 3 good minutes. Michigan State improves to 14-10 overall, 8-10 in conference play. Indiana will fall to 12-13, 7-11 in the conference. And Archie's got to be about out of time there. I don't know. Like,
efficiency is key. All right.
That's right. It's
mediocrity, maybe even.
Quality over quantity.
Cool, calm, collected, and quick.
Quality over quantity is not keeping jobs around here.
Well, nothing keeps a job around here. You lose a game, everybody wants you fired. But for Archie Miller, like, they've done plenty of losing. He just doesn't seem like the right fit there. And I don't know who brings Indiana basketball back. I honestly don't. Like, I'm not really sure exactly how you get people to buy into the Hoosiers and what they're selling there. Like, for me,
why does Dayton look like a more sustainable program right now than Indiana after
he left?
That's
crazy. That's crazy to me. And Dayton, while he was there.
Right. I'm saying he had great success there, and they've still been able to maintain success. I mean, what? They were, like, the number 2 team in the nation last year?
You sound like Borat. Great success.
Great success. Ain't no stopping. Obi Toppin.
Yeah, until he gets to the NBA and he realizes that, hey, everybody here is pretty good, huh? It's a little different than what I'm used to at Dayton. That's a little big school bias there. Not saying that great players can't come from small schools, but not with the expectation that will be laid upon you. Here's Tom Izzo after the game. Now, you know, you wanted to make sure that they did have media availability for today to talk more about it, but here's how we addressed the media last night when asked about, like, how are you going to get your guys ready for Michigan, because he wanted to focus on the Indiana game and what happened. They could talk today about what's going to happen for tomorrow and get that, but here's Tom Izzo's comments about Michigan and Michigan State and the rivalry.
I'm going to get into answering all kinds of questions, okay? Is that fair? The rivalry, you know, give John Beilein a lot of credit. You know, it started out so funny with John and I, but the one thing we had that I really admire is incredible respect, I think, for each other's programs and each other's ways that we did it. You know, they were somewhat different. But, you know, when he said those last couple years, you know, we don't have to take a back seat to the Duke-Carolina rivalry. We can build our own. I think it really was heading that way, you know, and I'm not saying it's not going to continue to head that way, but that's something him and I had going, you know, and let's face it, right now Michigan might be as good as they've been in since the Fab Five. I don't know. I haven't faced them yet, and I've seen them on TV only some, but they present a lot of problems. They got shooters. They got a point guard who runs their team, and they got a 7-1 guy inside that's been phenomenal for a freshman. So very, very good team, very well coached. I think he's done a great job with them. I'm very good friends with Phil Martelli on their staff because we've been on some committees together. They've just done a great job. And so the rivalry will always be the rivalry. It's Michigan, Michigan State. And I think it'll continue to grow and become arguably one of the great rivalries in the country, you know. And, you know, in football, there was the Michigan-Ohio State, and there's the USC-UCLA, you know. There's the Oklahoma-Texas, you know. I mean, if there's five big rivalries in football, Michigan, Michigan State, and basketball is definitely turning out to be one of the great rivalries in basketball. And I think that was the sad thing when he left. I had great respect for rivalries. Aren't rivalries when they're one-sided. In my first few years, you know, we got beat by 20 every game. Wasn't a rivalry. And then we went a stretch when we beat them by 20 every game. Wasn't a rivalry. And then after four or five of his years, it got to be a rivalry, and it was a very respected rivalry. And that's the beauty of it. You know, I always have to say you hate your rival. I mean, God, it's just, that's the American way. But if you respect them, that makes it a really good rivalry. So I'm sure the job he's done and where his team's at right now, this will be a good rivalry. And we're going to try to give him a good game on Thursday.
Who is he, by the way, Tom? Are you talking, like, you could say Phil Martelli, but you can't say Juwan Howard at all?
Listen, he's tired. He had to suffer through that long, boring, awful of a game. I also had the same thought of, like, are you forgetting Juwan Howard's name right now? Because he's mentioned Juwan Howard before in media.
Maybe that's his thing, to start the rivalry. He's just never going to say Juwan Howard's name.
Was he sneak dissing? Isn't that what the kids say, sneak dissing? I just thought it was interesting, the fact that he goes on to mention Phil Martelli, but doesn't mention Juwan Howard. And I'm like, you know, Tom. And like Ryan said, did he just have a...
I think he's just having some brain farts right there.
Yeah, like, it's like, what's his name?
He couldn't remember any Michigan player's name. Or Juwan Howard.
They got a 7-1 guy inside. They got a point guard.
He says, I've only watched Michigan a couple times. Come on, Tom. You've watched every single game. Do not lie to us. Are you kidding?
I don't know. I don't.
The number two team in the nation is your biggest rival? Or you don't think you're watching every game?
He's been playing every other day the last week and a half. He's only...
I don't know how you'd have enough time. Like, you're trying to prepare a game plan and get ready for instance, Indiana or Ohio State. Like, they've got other tasks at hand, and you got to worry about one game at a time.
The game takes 40 minutes if you watch it without commercials.
Yeah,
but planning for a game doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't.
It takes hours.
Yeah, that's not. That ain't an easy task. It's not one I'd want. I can tell you that much. That's for sure. That is for sure. Would not want that gig at all. Like whoever has to put down, put together all the film. That's a tall task. Scouting reports, game plan. A lot goes into every game. Only for 40 minutes, too. And then if you have ESPN or Fox, you can get, you know, 2-minute, 45-second, 3-minute media timeouts and drag the game out even longer. Last night felt like it took forever.
If you get third-tier officials, then add in 45 fouls.
Jeez.
So what happens with Michigan State. It's like, nah, there's two other ranked games in the Big Ten slate. You guys get the bottom of the barrel officials tonight.
And we had a little overtime last night, too, prior to the Michigan game. So we had a little OT that delayed our start. Now, we were scheduled for 7:10 was the official start time for that game. But I'll tell you what, like, that slide in the beginning was like, okay, this is gonna take a little bit of time. Now, like, overtime in the game before, that's awful. Then by
it was, you know, a good game, though.
Yeah, it was. It was. Like, I got no complaint there.
Each game's offensive efficiency got progressively worse when you're going from Baylor, West Virginia, to Illinois and Michigan,
slow,
then to Michigan State
decline.
To Indiana. It was just like, woof, they really hit the sledding hill on the quality of games here.
Oh, man, what a great way to put it, too, because, you know, Baylor, West Virginia in overtime, number three Baylor beat number – what was that, number six West Virginia on the road, 94-89. Now, they did get an extra few minutes, but, hey, still 94-89 is a pretty high-scoring game. The Michigan gets drilled 76-53, and the Michigan State wins 64-58. I mean, that was an all-day affair. That was catching the blue chips early in the day, and then as the games went on, you got all the way down to the JV level. Like, that was a rough night for basketball. That was. We're going to get more into the Michigan-Illinois game coming up in hour number three. Ton of thoughts from that one. Hear from the head coach, Juwan Howard, as well. All that and more coming up here on X's and Bros all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio here on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's time to go on the court with Tim Stout.
It's a BetMGM Friday on the Michigan Sports Network, and there's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Sign up now and use bonus code TimBet100 when you make your first bet to win free bets. That's bonus code TimBet100 to receive free bets when you sign up now. It's very rare whenever Michigan and Michigan State play back-to-back, and rarer still when they finish the regular season against each other. Are the Michigan Wolverines going to finish off an incredible regular season with two wins over the rival, the school that, of course, has been one of the blue bloods of college basketball for Tom Izzo's 26 years as Michigan State head coach? Or is the tide turned? Is there a new sheriff in town with the second-year coach, Juwan Howard, of course, leading Michigan to a glorious year? Whenever the two play, it's always fantastic. But it'll be a little bit different, the atmosphere this time, because if fans were allowed, you know they'd be jammed in Ann Arbor Thursday night for senior day at Michigan State on Sunday. Now, we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Quiet strength. It is informational and pragmatic. It is compassionate, determined, relentless, and giving. Quiet strength comes from the heart, and it also comes from the brain. Wanting to do the right thing is noble, but discovering how to do the right thing is impactful and lasting. The rehabilitation of traumatic brain injury is what we do at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. The knowledge, the expertise, the innovation, they come from the brain. Dedicating our lives to the lives of those affected by TBI is also what we do at the Eisenhower Center. The compassion, the respect, the concern, they come from the heart. Our goal is to share our quiet strength with you.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
So what's your reason for feeling lousy today? Round number birthday or just another one? Glory days with the college buddies, game went to overtime, or was it Tuesday? Whatever, you need to lose the hangover and get with the program. And that's why you need Blow Low. Blow Low is a sobering aid that clears your head and helps reinvigorate and energize your body. Blow Low assists in eliminating hangovers with a proven metabolism accelerator, helping to break down toxins and reduce alcohol levels up to 50%, and all in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Blow Low can eliminate breath odor from marijuana, cigarettes, alcohol, and more. Visit blowlow.com, that's BLOWLOW.com today, and feel better in as little as 15 minutes. Your next birthday, overtime, glory days, day of the week party will go down better, and you'll feel better the next day. blowlow.com, use the promo code HUGE for free shipping. Blow Low encourages everyone who consumes alcohol to act responsibly. Please don't drink and drive. Statements not evaluated by the FDA.